Pray for him as he comes. Well, let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to John chapter 8 and verse 32. John 8, 32. John 8, 32. And Brother Johnson, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Amen. John chapter 8 and verse 32, and ye shall know what? The truth, and the truth shall what? Make you free. America is known as the land of the free, but I wonder really how free we are. We sing about it in the national anthem. It says, oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming? Whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, or the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming. And the rocket's red glare and the bombs bursting in air gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave? Is it really the land of the free? Well, the story behind the national anthem there, which you've probably heard and read many times, but it was a rainy September 13th in 1814. British warships sent a downpour of shells and rockets onto Fort McHenry in Baltimore Harbor, pounding the American fort for 25 straight hours. It was known as the Battle of Baltimore, and it came only weeks after the British had already attacked Washington, D.C., burning our capital, the treasury, and the president's house. A week earlier, Francis Scott Key, a 35-year-old American lawyer, had boarded the flagship of the British fleet out in the Chesapeake Bay in hopes of persuading the British to release a friend who had recently been arrested. Well, Key was successful in obtaining the release of his friend, who was a doctor, but they wouldn't let him return immediately to shore because they had these plans to attack our country, and so they made them stay out in the bay until after the attack, and then they let them come back to the stateside, to the land. And given the scale of the attack, Francis Scott Key thought that there was no way that the Americans on shore were ever going to be able to succeed. But in the morning, as the dawn, as the dawn came, and he saw that large flag up there, American flag, still waving above the fort, and that's what caused him to write that poem for the Star Spangled Banner. And does it yet wave over our land? Well, yes and no. Sometimes it does wave over our land, sometimes it doesn't. One group that claims that their lives matter, they'll not honor the flag. Some of them will not stand to it, they'll not honor it, they'll take the knee out of dishonor to the flag, and some of them will also not only dishonor it in that way, but they'll also burn the flag. They'll set it on fire. Another group claims that their lives matter. Well, this other group will stand for the flag. They will honor the flag. But some in that group have taken the flag and removed all the colors except one other color. It's like black and white with one stripe of darker color. Well, I don't think that's right either. To me, that's defacing the flag too. And I'm not sure why, because they are a group that honors the flag, but they have done that to it, and they have it on the, sometimes they fly it. There's one just down the street from us that flies that particular flag. And I don't agree with burning it. I don't agree with kneeling. There's one person we kneel to, and that's God. And so I don't agree with both of those groups on what they're doing in regard to the flag. But why is our country so divided? Is because we need God. We need to get back to God. That is the answer. So the answer is not what we need in America. It is who we need in America. Look at verse 34, John 8, 34. Jesus answered him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is what? The servant of sin." So I don't care how many emancipation proclamations have been made. I don't care what we have on paper. You know, people may have driver's licenses, and they may say, "Well, I've got this. I can drive." Well, if you watch them drive, you may question whether they should be driving or not. They may have something in writing that says they're legal to drive, but sometimes you wonder if they should be driving. So we've been emancipated. But does that really mean we're free? Does that really mean we are using freedom as we should? Well, verse 34, "There whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin." Verse 35, "And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free," what? Indeed. So free indeed, in other words, truly free. It's not just a piece of paper that says this, but truly free. So the answer is Jesus, verse 36. "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Notice with me then, please, in John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And verse 1, John 14, 1. The Bible says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. and whither I go, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Well, let's look at some things here. Number one, if you're taking notes, some Americans are looking to their human heritage to secure their freedom. I know that's long. I'll read it again. Some Americans are looking to their human heritage to secure their freedom. In other words, they're looking back to their ancestors. I read an interesting thing Brother Wall sent to me about, it was from an 80-plus-year-old man, and one of the younger generations came up to him and said, is there anything I can do for you during this COVID-19 thing? Is there any way I can help you? And the older man didn't answer at first, but then he kind of chuckled. It's like, you help me? And then he went on to say just how spoiled rotten some of the next generations are. And so this older man is explaining, you think this is difficult? He lived during World War II. He said when everything was rationed, and even if you had some extra of your rations, you felt like you needed to give it to the war effort. He said, today, if you don't have all 113 channels of your TV working, you think you're suffering, you know. And I mean, he just had a great comeback. So he wasn't really so sure the next generations could really help him. It was more like he thought he could help them learn some lessons. It was interesting. So, but some Americans are just looking back to our ancestors to guarantee our freedom, to secure our freedom. Well, they had to fight for it many times in many different wars. But this is just what the Jews were saying. Look at back in John 8, verse 31. John 8 and verse 31. Very similar. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be what? Abraham's seed, and were what? Never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou ye shall be made free? You know, that's the Star-Spangled Banner talks about how proudly, you know, I wish they'd change that word to humbly. You know, here the Jews were saying here in verse 33, we be Abraham's seed and we're never in bondage to any man. You know, that's strange because at that very moment, they were in bondage to Rome. They were not truly a free nation at that point. They were under Roman authority. Now, Rome gave them quite a bit of leeway, but nonetheless, well, like when it came to putting someone to death, the Jewish people could not put Jesus to death because Roman law would not allow them to do that. So it's not really funny, but here they're saying to Jesus, what do you mean be made free? We are free. We're Abraham's seed. We've never been in bondage to anyone. That is really strange. You know, it almost seems like for 70 years, they were in bondage to someone in the Old Testament. Who was that? I think it was Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians. 70 years, very few of Israel were left back in their land. And here they're saying to Jesus, we're Jews. We've never been in bondage to anyone. You have a poor memory. I guess Alzheimer's is not a new disease. Had quite a problem back in this same time. And what was there in the book of Genesis after Abraham's time. Let's see. It seems like that time it wasn't just 70 years. It seems like it was 430 years. You are never in bondage to any man. Wasn't there a guy called Pharaoh down in Egypt? Do you guys remember anything about him? Can you remember your ancestors taking a little trip down there, a little vacation for 430 years in bondage? That vacation land wasn't called paradise, though. It had another name. I think they referred to it as the Iron Furnace. Yep, that was it, the Iron Furnace. 430 years. Isn't that a lot like America? I mean, Americans can stand with a straight face and say, we've never been in bondage to any man or anyone or anything. Funny thing is so many Americans are terribly in bondage right now. They're slaves. They're slaves to sin. So the Jews right here had kind of the same problem that we have today. They're looking to their ancestors. I'm afraid George Washington cannot help us now, nor any of our founding fathers, nor any of the generals from World War II. They're gone. The MacArthurs, they're gone. And if you were to say it like today, the Americans would say, verse 33, we are Americans and we're never in bondage to any man. Well, that simply would not be true. And back in verse 34, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. In what way? Well, notice with me in 2 Peter 2:14. 2 Peter 2:14. The Bible says, having eyes full of what?
Adultery.
Doesn't that just picture Hollywood and America? Eyes full of adultery. When we went down and visited Pastor Jeremy and Sister Julie in Mexico, at Christmas time, they were playing some of the Christian rock and roll songs. And some of them are even in English, too, playing in one of the malls that we were in. The fact of the matter is sadly, is we as of America have corrupted the whole world in many regards. Now, I know the Beatles came from England to here, but a lot of our rock groups and a lot of our movies are across this whole world. And what drives them? What's that verse? Having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with what? Covetous practices, cursed children. And heart they have exercised with covetous practices. Exercise, you know, exercise is good for us. But the Bible says here, they have an heart they have exercised with covetous practices. In other words, it's just a way of life to them. They have strength, they have, because they constantly exercise, so they have strength in the wrong thing. They have strength in covetousness. And who is hurt from it? The last word of the verse, children. Now, if a person's eyes are full of adultery, that person is a slave to sin. A slave. They're not really free. You know, notice with me in Song of Solomon chapter 4. Song of Solomon, chapter 4. The Song of Solomon was king over Israel at its greatest peak. And yet, you know what? 2 Peter 2:14 kind of fits the bill with Solomon. In Song of Solomon 4, verse 7, he's considering the Shulamite young lady, and he says, thou art all fair, my love, there is no spot in thee. And the ladies are answering back and forth, and they seem to agree with him that This young lady seemed to be a beauty queen that no one contested at all. But then notice in chapter 6 in verse 8, chapter 6 and verse 8 of Song of Solomon, it says there are 70 queens. So how much is a score? 20. So 70, 3 times 20 would be 60. So there are 60 queens and 70 concubines. So 70 would be 80. So at this point, when Solomon has his eyes on yet another beauty queen, he already has 60 queens, 60 full-fledged wives, and 80 concubines. Concubines were more like on a servant status, so a lesser, but still considered a wife. So he has 140 wives at this point, and he's looking at yet another. Now, the question is was this the one that finally satisfied Solomon? Is this the one he really should have waited for? Well, let's look at 1 Kings 11. 1 Kings 11, verse 1. So he's got 140. Now he finds one whose beauty seems to surpass anyone else. 1 Kings 11, 1. But King Solomon loved what? Many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you. For surely they will what? Turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. Verse 3, and he had what? 700 wives. Now, how many did we just see he had? Okay, he had the 80 concubines and the 60 wives, so 140 total. So, but now it says, and he had 700 wives, princesses, and how many concubines? 300. Whereas he had 80. So, he did have 60 wives. Now he has 700. He did have 80 concubines. Now he has 300. So before he had a total wives and concubines of 140. How many does he have in this verse total? 1,000. It's 700 wives, 300 concubines. At the 140 mark, he found someone that he thought was the beauty queen of all beauty queens. And the other young ladies had to agree with him. But did that satisfy him? No. He went on to multiply after that. He went on to take 639 more wives and 220 more concubines. Just unbelievable. So if you go back to 2 Peter 2:14, 2 Peter 2:14. So what I'm getting at is this. 2 Peter 2:14, having eyes full of adultery. You are never going to satisfy someone whose eyes are filled with adultery. I don't care how beautiful, how perfect a person's looks may seem. You are never going to satisfy that person. Having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and heart, they have what? Exercise with covetous practices. You see, they have exercised their heart so long in that practice of adulterous looks that you are never going to satisfy them, just like Solomon, and those wives turned away his heart back in 1 Kings 11, 4. So those people are not free. Many Americans heard about Jesus as children. Many Americans were taken to Sunday school, maybe by a grandmother or a parent. But then many Americans got to the place where they graduated from high school And they began to rethink it all. And they began to ponder it. And they began to look at the world. And of course, you get out in the working world, and people are doing all kinds of worldly, ungodly things. And so they put a cross to these people that had a biblical training that if you want to really be free, you need to do these other things. You know, like, if you want to really be free, you need to smoke cigarettes. Well, that's funny, isn't it, that if that's really being free, why do so many people want to quit smoking and have a terrible time doing it? If that's real freedom, why are all these people trying to quit after years? If that's real freedom, if that's really enjoying life, why does it take so much money to buy all those cigarettes? And that's the same with alcohol. Oh, if you want to really be free, you know, you need to drink this alcohol. Well, the years that we spent in the sheriff's honor camp there, a lot of those guys were there because for some reason they just couldn't leave that liquor alone. And it got them in jail. It caused them to lose their driver's license. If you notice with me in Proverbs 23 and verse 20, Proverbs 23:20, be not among wine bibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. A wine bibber is someone who's drinking alcohol. Verse 31, look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color, and the cup when it moveth itself aright. It's the fermentation causing it to move. Verse 32, at the last, it biteth like what? A serpent. Now, would you think it's really living, I mean, really freedom to be thrown in a snake den and just be bit time and time again of this poisonous venom? I mean, that is a nightmare. That is not freedom. That's a nightmare of being thrown in a place. But look what it says about alcohol, verse 32. At the last, it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. That's not my idea of freedom or fun. Verse 33, thine eyes shall behold what? Didn't we just read something about that? Strange women. Ah, yes, we did. It was Solomon married many strange women. And thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. That is picturing seasickness. Verse 35, they have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will what? Seek it yet again. Seek that yet again? Why? We didn't read about verse 29, the who hath woe, who hath sorrow, who hath contentions, who hath babbling, who hath wounds without cause, who hath redness of eyes, they that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Injuries? While a person's drunk? Verse 32, the poison. Verse 33, the yoking up with the strange, the unsaved. There's verse 34, the sickness, seasickness. Verse 35, the experiencing things you don't even remember, going through things. You know, they have beaten me and I felt it not. They're just numb to it. But verse 35, when shall I wake? I will seek it yet again. Is that freedom? Well, my friends, that is just exactly how many Americans are living. I was in a grocery store, and this happens a lot of holidays, but especially 4th of July. The center aisle of Meijer's was packed with alcohol. I mean, case after case after case after case of alcohol, because that is how Americans, many of them, celebrate their freedom. Doesn't sound like much like being free to me. So Many Americans have heard about Jesus as a child, but when they got out of high school, maybe when they got into college, they turned their back on God, and now they believe the lie of the devil. Notice once again in 2 Peter 2, and verse 19 now. 2 Peter 2:19. So verse 14, their eyes are full of adultery, their hearts are so exercised, so used to being covetous, wanting that which is not theirs. In verse 19, it says, while they promise them what?
Liberty.
Just like America. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are what?
Servants
of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in what? Bondage. What they thought sounded like liberty was a lie. What they thought sounded like freedom. You know, they want to break the restraints of the Word of God. They don't want to be brought under God's law. And so they follow man. They follow his lie, and they are brought into bondage. And look at verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is what? Worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. So some Americans are foolishly looking to their human ancestors to guarantee their freedom. And what that's doing is just leading them into bondage. Number two, some Americans are wisely looking to the Word of God to secure their freedom. Some Americans are wisely looking to the Word of God to secure their freedom. John chapter 8, once again, John chapter 8 and verse 31. John 8, 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye what? Continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know what? The truth, and the truth shall what? Make you free. This is the group we want to be in, right here. We want to continue in his word, verse 31. We know that verse 32 is the truth, and that will make us free. So I pray that each one here this morning is in that group. The only way for true freedom is to be born again. Once again in Peter, 1 Peter, this time 1 Peter 1:23. The wise look to the Word of God for direction on how to be saved. 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And then to wisely study the Bible. So to allow the Word of God to show us in our hearts how to be saved, and then to study it more. Notice in 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 14. 2 Timothy 2:14. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. So it's the Bible that'll make us free. And then let's go back to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Knowing what the Bible says will make us free. John chapter 8 and verse 32. John 8:32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You know, any group that goes around trying to say just their lives matter, the bottom line is that there's one person that ought to be glorified and focused on, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice with me in Revelation 4 and verse 11. Revelation 4, 11. You know, anytime we try to set up ourselves individually or just our group as the only one that matters, there's something wrong. In Revelation 4:11, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive what? Glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And then one last passage, Revelation 6, Revelation 6 and verse 15. Revelation 6:15. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every what? Bondman. And every what? Free man. What did they do? They hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us. And what? Hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? The last day is not going to be every man saying, our group matters, just our group matters. In the last day, every man, every bond man, every slave, every servant, every free man, every leader, verse 15, they're all going to hide themselves from the face of the Lamb. They're going to be in fear. Today is the day to humble ourselves before God, not to boast and to be proud and say that we're the only one that matters. It's not a time to try to take vengeance. That's God's, Romans chapter 12. It's God's vengeance. And we don't want to be taking from God what is his and his alone to do. May God help us in this time. So many Americans on 4th of July celebrate ancestry. They think about our ancestors and praise God for godly ancestors. But you know what? They cannot help us. We are not to exalt our ancestors. We are to exalt the Lord. The Jews exalted their ancestors, and yet at the same time were not obeying the Lord like their ancestors. They were claiming Abraham as their father, and Jesus said, Abraham is not your father, in John chapter 8. If he were your father, you wouldn't be going about to kill me. And he goes on in John 8:44, saying, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. And so in this time, let's pray for America. There's such contrast right now. You have some people that are revering the past, and you have some people that are despising the past. But in many people from both groups, they really do not know the God of the Bible. They really have not humbled themselves. They are filled with pride for this or for that, but they haven't humbled themselves before Almighty God. And let's pray that 2 Chronicles 7:14 would be true in America. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, please help us. Father, we take so much for granted, our freedom. How much have we used our freedom to serve you or just to serve ourselves? Lord, please speak to our hearts. We are thankful for those godly people in our nation's history that have feared you and have written documents fearing you and have tried to steer the country in a godly direction. And yet, Lord, we can't trust in those people they've all passed away. But Father, we can trust in you. And I pray that, Lord, if there should be any here today that have never placed their faith and trust in you, help them to realize today that it's only the Son that can make them free. Help them to realize that Jesus is the Son of God, God Almighty in the flesh, born of a miraculous virgin birth, lived a perfect life, and then died on the cross, bearing our sin in his own body on the tree, was buried and rose again in victory, proving that his payment was enough. His blood was sufficient to wash away our sin. Help him to receive you today. And Lord, please help us as Christians to faithfully live for you. Help us not to become entangled with the affairs of this life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.